This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, and not wine-drinking co-host, Monica. Hi.
Hi, Amanda. Not wine drinking. This is very upsetting. I do still have two bottles of wine left from the regular buys that I do since 2020, because one always needs a bottle of wine ever so slightly and unexpectedly. So you'd rather just, yeah, want to have one in store, like at home. So I should probably open that one up rather soon, but not today.
What's actually happening?
Is Geek Girl in the news?
Lots of good. Some not so good. As
some
usual.
Not so good. As usual.
As usual. So we have some pretty big news to start with.
Yes.
And
I would call it celebration, but yes, it's also news.
News.
I mean, it's not so news anymore, but it's celebration.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Reason that we didn't stream for like an entire week because our life was wrapped up in American politics shit show.
I mean, it wasn't the shit show so much anymore then. It was more like the relieving that what we needed. It was the medicine that we needed in order to be able to survive another few months of fucking COVID. And shit like that. So that was just like soothing for the soul, basically.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It was wonderful to see not only President Joe Biden sworn in, but Vice President Kamala Harris.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yes.
So Kamala Harris obviously is the first, not only female vice president, she is the first black female vice president of the United freaking States. And especially amazing because after 4 years of the Cheeto in chief, it was just everything. It was absolutely everything that we needed just to feel a little bit better about the world and ourselves. And it was amazing.
I would be lying if I didn't admit that I was like super crying, like pretty much through the whole inauguration. Like it's just such a relief after the last 4 years. And, you know, I don't think that they're perfect people. I don't think that they're perfect politicians, but I mean,
a politician doesn't have to be perfect and can't ever be perfect, because in the end, a politician has to speak for an entire country. And in the country, there are loads of people who have different opinions. So the important part of a politician is to make sure that they're doing the best for the majority. And that's not always something that everybody can agree on. So a politician, a perfect politician has yet to live. And I don't think that's in general possible. But there are so many more improvements after the Cheeto, who we have to thank for an insurrection into their own capital and for crime and violence and hatred and bigotry and sexism and transphobia and homophobia and racism. Like he checked all the boxes, right? And then he left. And it was quite pathetic, actually. And I just want to talk about this for a short second, because that's like the cherry on the pathetic cake, right? That he, number one, he didn't attend the inauguration, which I was like, okay, then don't attend the inauguration. Nobody wants to see your stupid face there anyway. So yay for that. But, and I mean, he left before noon. He's in the White House, right? And then flew to Florida, and he did that still in the Air Force One, And that was intentional because he didn't want to take a private plane to leave. And I'm like, are you really that fucking pathetic that you really need to do this all so that you can still live in the freaking Air Force One? And I'm like,
you missed one part as well, Monica, as he was taking off and the videos and the song he had playing was My Way by Frank Sinatra.
Well, that's, and before that, he was playing YMCA, which is like, for me personally, the absolute gay anthem, right? And I'm just like, this is so fucking ridiculous. But somebody said that he was using YMCA always for his rallies and everything. And I'm like, does nobody see the irony in that? Like,
should we tell him? Should somebody tell him?
Did nobody ever mention it? This is a bit weird that it's actually about a group of five gay men jumping, like, you know? But yes, My Way. Even the reporters on CNN were like, this is fucking ridiculous. Yes. 84 million of us saw the irony, Chink says in chat.
Yeah. But goodbye, good riddance. And we're welcoming in some change.
Yes. Quick ones.
Yes, lots and lots of quick change. But before we get to, you know, what Joe Biden has actually done in the 13 days he's been in office, let's talk about the actual inauguration ceremony, because it was amazing. So first of all, we had the one and only icon, Lady Gaga, singing the American National Anthem.
That was a ride.
And it was the only thing missing were fireworks and a, like, an outfit change, actually.
An outfit change? Because she was like spinning or something, like something with wow. Ollie in chat said he could have done without Gaga. What the fuck is wrong with you, Ollie? You were pro Garth Brooks, but against Gaga? Wow. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, Lady Gaga.
She was just phenomenal. I'm ignoring Ollie. She was phenomenal. And like, she, oh my gosh, she was just amazing. Like her outfit, number one, like the big dove of peace on her chest. And like, it was giving me Hunger Games vibes. Like, she came out and I was like,
that was the first thing that I thought of was the Mockingbird. Only like later, I was like, oh, maybe it's the peace stuff. That's how pop culture infected I am.
It's true, though. It's true. And, like, it was just such a really powerful and moving performance. Even my mom was like, oh, amazing. Like, oh, she loved it. And, I mean, unless you're Ollie, what is there not to love?
I was just thinking, like, through this entire performance, I was like, you were bullied. Look at your fucking haters. They can go fuck themselves if they want to, but you're owning this now and show them right. That was amazing. I loved it so much.
It was so good. It was so good. Now we had Jennifer Lopez on singing This Land Is My Land.
My Land. Land.
I don't actually know the name of the song. My Country Tis of Thee. No, that's not the right one. That song, you know?
Yeah. Something like that.
My apologies, American people. I do not know the names of most of your songs, but I do know most of the words to most of them. So cut me a break.
I mean, I'm too far gone, too far away from all of this that I would ever know the name of this song. And you don't know my anthem name either. So I'm like, whatever.
It's true. And Jennifer Lopez was, I mean, she was pretty great singing that song. And I felt that it was... okay, I need to say, like, obviously, yes, there's a lot of problems with everything, and especially in terms of, like, Native American representation and rights and land acquisition, and, like, I very much acknowledge this. I know that this is still a problem and something that, you know, we're also fighting for land acknowledgement and recognition. But... saying that, I actually like teared up quite a lot with Jennifer Lopez singing about the land being like for her and for you, like for everyone, because obviously she is Latina, and that it just felt extra powerful to me because of everything that you know, we've gone through with Trump over the last 4 years, like trying to take land away from not white people. So it just felt like extra powerful that she was singing, and it was like a little bit of a fuck you, Trump.
Mm-hmm. Also, see, she sang Spanish for us for a bit, and then added her own. I forgot the song again. One of her songs was pretty funny, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then we had. I mean, for me, kind of forgettable, and I'm also like super upset with the dude, Garth Brooks.
Yeah,
was Garth Brooks before the poet.
Yeah,
Garth Brooks was before the poet. Garth Brooks, number one, I don't even really fucking know who you are, which is fine. Then I'm like, I don't need to know you. I don't need to know every like country singer or whatever he is in the US, and that's fine. And apparently it was like a decent move, because obviously a lot of his like fan base is like quite right wing and everything. So, okay, I like that they gave him the opportunity to sing or whatever.
I think he asked to sing, actually. And yeah. I think he's sung at many of the recent inaugurations. Like, it's kind of a tradition for him to come on and sing.
So he sang. That was like, meh. But then I was like, okay, whatever. I don't need to know him. Don't need to love him. And then he was trying to leave, or he was leaving the stage. And then he was shaking Biden's hand. He was actively searching for Pence's hand, which I'm like totally whatever with. And then he walked past Kamala Harris. And if she wouldn't have reached out her hand to him, he would have just walked past her. And I was like, what? Fuck you. Like, he was going past her to reach Pence. And she was just about to leave. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, are you freaking serious? And even if it's like, yes, shit like this can happen, but can it happen in a moment like this? Can it happen? It's not like you've met someone on a ball or whatever, and then or a festival, or you pass them and you suddenly don't see them. This was a celebration of all of this, and he's just walking past her. I mean, oh god.
Yeah, it was really cringe. We were like, come on, Garth Brooks, what the fuck are you doing, mate?
Oh yeah, that was a ride. Such a ride.
But then we have maybe the highlight of the entire inauguration.
For me, for sure.
Definitely. The youngest poet laureate, Amanda Gorman, getting up and reciting the most beautiful, powerful, patriotic poem I have probably ever heard in my entire life.
2 weeks before, like when the insurrection, is that how you call it, happened, poem wasn't finished. So she added more to the poem after that. And it was just amazing. It was amazing. When it all started out, she had like 100,000 followers on Instagram or something. Within the day, she had like a million followers. And like, I think now she's about, like the day after when I woke up in the morning, she was about 2 million. So we were also following her account growth, and it exploded. It was amazing. But oh my God, what a talented young black woman. And it was so great to see. It was so good.
It was chilling and beautiful and just incredible. And I think like there can't be that many people left who have not heard her read or read the poem themselves. But if you haven't, stop what you're doing and go and watch a YouTube clip of this, because you have to. It's like a direct order from Geek Herring. Go and listen to this poem, because it is going to move every part of your being.
Yes. Yes. That's it. That's all there is to say to that.
Yep. And I heard that I missed like some other performances later in the day. When I guess it was like an inauguration party or something.
I mean, that was way past my bedtime, so I wouldn't have known.
It was not past my bedtime. I don't know what I was doing, but I didn't see it.
Recovering from everything else that we saw.
Crying.
Probably.
Yeah. But inauguration aside, has Joe Biden actually done anything, Monica?
Oh, yes, he did. He started like super fast, like almost on day one. He was immediately reversing things that Trump did and like putting other things in place that weren't necessarily related or reversing anything Trump did, but definitely improving the situations that Trump has caused. So it was a ride. And he's still working on it. And we love it.
Yes. Some of my favorite things that he has done in the... Well, like I say, 13 days since he's taken office, which is pretty incredible. Mm. He has rejoined the Paris Agreement for climate change, which is fantastic.
Yes.
He's written an executive order to promote racial equity, and he froze many of the rules passed in final days of Trump's presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Ending the ban on U.S. entry from majority Muslim countries, orders that require mask wearing on federal property.
So needed.
Signed an executive order coordinating a government-wide COVID-19 response.
Very much needed.
Revising immigration enforcement policies. Undoing regulatory restrictions on federal agencies, which is amazing. We're incorporating undocumented immigrants into census, and we are refocusing on climate crisis and canceling the Keystone XL permit, the big pipeline from Canada for the oil, which, as a Canadian, that has caused a lot of contention in Canadian news. Our Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is not so happy about that because he's like, what the fuck, man? We've been working on this for a really long time. I put a lot of money into this. And my parents are like, Trudeau's put a lot of money into this. And I'm like, you don't even like Trudeau. And
you don't even like Trudeau.
Sorry. Tangent. But like, we're all very happy. Well, and by world, I mean Amanda and many other people are all very happy that this Keystone pipeline has been canned because it's going to cause a lot of problems.
Fuck oil.
Fuck oil.
Yeah.
Except I don't mean that. I only say that because our house is heated by oil and, you know, it's temperamental. So got to please the oil gods. So, yeah. Biden has also signed an executive order banning discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. Memorandum revamping regulatory review, an executive order mandating the ethics pledge for government appointees, proclamation that pulls funds from the border wall between Mexico and the U.S.
When I read that initially, I was like, does that just mean that there is this half-built wall now that people are not even properly using and you can just walk around it? And this is going to be like this. This is going to be like this. I don't know. Thing that you just go and watch and you're going to talk about in 30 years. We're like, there was supposed to be a wall. There was the super narcissistic, psychotic president for 4 years. And he started to build it, but he couldn't pull through. So that's like 10% of the wall that he wanted to build. And people are going to be like, oh my God, people back in 2020 or whatever.
2020, man, what a ride.
What a ride.
Signed an executive order pausing federal student loan payments. Though that hasn't actually happened yet, but he's signed the order. It just hasn't actually started to happen yet. So we're getting there with that one. He signed a memorandum reinstating deferred enforcement departure for Liberians. He has strengthened the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the DACA program, which is pretty good. And ladies, gentlemen, friends, theys, thems, everyone, that was just day one. That was just day one with Joe Biden at the presidency.
I mean, they're like so necessary, like even only day one is like so many necessary things that he needed to change and do and stuff, and it's just to bring like the country and the people back to a regular thing where you can just like disagree with politics and not just fear for your life because of politics. Taunt said a part of him is a little appalled there wasn't more moving done. Yeah, I mean, there can always be more that could be done, but at least we're taking steps there. And I suppose that some things are like more complicated policy-wise to then really go ahead and change the things legally as well, because as stupid as we all think Trump might be, I don't think he's necessarily too stupid to be aware that there are also, that he also put a lot of things in place that need a bit more working against than just saying, this is over now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I know that there's been some issues regarding the stimulus check because there was the promise for $2,000 for every American. And then they kind of revised it to say, oh, well, it's actually only, is it $1,200 because you've already got $800? And it's like, oh, it's just like a top up. And there's been some controversy over that. So we're not sure, you know, what the outcome of that's going to be. I think most recent I heard about that was like a revision of the revision that actually maybe it will be the full $2,000. So we'll see about that because, you know, got to keep people alive, especially since there's been so many deaths with COVID happening. But one thing I do want to mention, one other thing I do want to mention, because Biden has done an awful lot so far. And I have to say, It is pretty impressive. But then again, I'm kind of like, am I only impressed because of the shit show we've lived for the last 4 years? I'm not sure.
I think so.
But on day 6 of his presidency, Joe Biden reversed the transgender military ban, which is fantastic. But the one that I am like even more over the moon about is that he has written an order to end reliance on private prisons. Okay? This is a big deal because prison system in America is bucks fucking deluxe, and it is so dirty, so unnecessary, and just disgusting. Like, this is the most fantastic move that he has directed the Department of Justice not to renew their contracts with private prisons. Like, this is the beginning of actual prison reform in America, everyone, and that is a big fucking deal.
Tawn says, this is an amazing deal. I honestly, Credit Orange is the new black for raising it up to be noticed. Yeah, probably.
Definitely. And Tom's 3Xtra Live says, private prison is also a building block in modern day slavery in America. Absolutely right.
Didn't we watch it also? Like, if you watch the 13th Amendment, how the prison is actually so fucked up and just like, as you say, modern day slavery in America and just enforcing what that the black labor and the black force that has been used through slavery and now through prison, through the prison system, basically. So I'll go watch the 13th Amendment on Netflix. It's a really intense watch. Fucking hell, it was an intense watch. But also because we are white people and we're super fucking fragile about racism, but we need to watch it and you need to see it.
We've started out strong here. And I'm pretty keen to see where this goes and, you know, what other monumental moves Biden and Harris will hopefully continue to make.
Yes, number one, I do like yes, that. But I also think it's important that, and I think that Biden might be able to do that based on his experience with his political experience in the last, in his entire life, right? How old is he? How old
70. Is he? Old? 576. He's like
that.
He's officially the oldest person to be president.
Yeah. So, and he's like worked between the realms in politics his entire life and knows how to like mend things a bit. And I think that's what the US and like the world kind of needs, to bring this divide like a bit closer together. And I do think he might be a good person to do that. So yay for that.
Yay.
And yay, Kamala Harris. She's not taking any shit. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And sorry, can we talk about Dr. Jill Biden just for like 1 second? And she's just iconic. And these that she is our first lady, or our, as if an American, America's first lady. And that she is, you know, taking on, like, she's like, no, I'm doctor. And she's not giving up her job. She's not giving up her work. And like, she's, I think that we need somebody in the White House like that as well, who's not like going to back down from what she's doing or stop what she's doing. I love it. And I think
also she's a like a former teacher, so she's gonna have a lot of things to say about education in the country, which, fuck yeah. And then also, besides all of that, can we just say how cute they are? Like, how isn't it nice when a couple obviously likes each other? Like, mm-hmm. Isn't that nice to see the pride and the joy and the love between two people? And if it's just ever so, just like, you know, like, if you see that, isn't that beautiful? And I'm like, it's so nice to see. And also, yeah. Something else I would like to mention, Second Gentleman. I'm here yes. for it. So mm-hmm. here for it. And I want to see a first. Can only be topped. Can we say trumped again? Can only be topped by the First Gentleman whenever we have him. But yes. Oh God. Love this.
Honestly, like, I heard somebody say that, like, it's so nice to see love back in the White House. Mm-hmm. And like, I have to agree, because already it seems like that love has entered. And then we saw the dogs arriving as well.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite an ordeal, okay? Like, Twitter went wild. You know, it's just wonderful.
There is a dog. There are dogs back in the White House.
There are dogs and there are love. There is love. What more can we ask for? Obviously, policy reform and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's how far we've come after 4 years. That's how far we've come. We're like, we just like people not obviously hating each other and, like, being decent human beings. It doesn't even matter what they decide on. Let's just hope they're, like, nice or whatever. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So great.
And, yes, we are we're a queer presidential couple. That's like the epiphany of amazingness.
Agreed.
Hopefully sooner rather than later. But times are changing and it will happen.
Mm-hmm. So we are all rejoicing with you, America, for these great times that we are entering. Better
the
times.
World took a huge fucking breath. Oh, mm-hmm. God. Of relief. A sigh of relief. And we're so happy for you all. And yay, that's really all we need to say.
It is. And we're going to stay in American news, American-ish news, with our next story about how Reddit seems to have taken down Wall Street.
I mean, I'm not sure if I understand this entire situation enough. I read through it and I'm like, I kind of get it, but I also kind of don't get it. That's mostly because I have no idea about the stock market and I don't think I want to know. But yeah, Reddit has been part of the reason why there has been this new weird thing happening with GameStop, actually. Poor company that is fighting for survival and the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's technical. I don't quite understand it myself, but essentially I'm gonna, like, Cole's notes this and I might balls it up, so somebody can correct me if you know better than me in chat or in comments if you're like, Amanda, what are you talking about, that does not make any sense, let us know. So what's happened is that Reddit user started a thread or a community or whatever happens on Reddit that we subreddit, thank you Tom, started a subreddit talking about how, why, or like, to urge you to buy GameStop credits. And so basically people bought GameStop credits. And what this has done is, like, so the way it was kind of explained to me is that if you buy a stock for $10 and you sell the stock for $7, then you make a profit of $3. So if, like, a lot of people do this, then the stock in the company goes up and you make more money and then you sell your stocks. And anyways, I'm really balding this up and I know I am. So I'm sorry, not super stock market happy here. Like, anyways, so GameStop stock went up and people started to, like, draw their investments, make the money. And billionaire hedge funds were, like, losing lots of money because they're like, what the fuck is going on? And yeah, anyways, we're eating the rich and it's great.
I mean, I think the way that what really happened with the people on Reddit is that they misused the system that stock, or not misused, they used the system that stock marketers use, where they kind of take a stock that is super cheap and not worth much as GameStop was, because it's obviously it's a dying company, or it's kind of struggling and it's not making a lot of revenue or whatever you call it, or not a lot of profit in the stock market. So they kind of lend stuff from different kind of stocks, and then you can sell it back and for profit for some reason. And people kind of notice that the stock market is doing that with GameStop, and then Reddit started to do the same thing that the stock market has did. And because of that, the value for the GameStop stock, wow, that's hard to say, that then skyrocketed, obviously, and at the same time made all the people who actually invested into the stock market with loads and loads of money, made them lose so much money because of the things they did. And we love to see it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's causing a lot of issues because, like, this is a game that billionaires and other rich people play, and they're like, oh, but other people shouldn't know how to do this. So it's kind of causing a lot of concern, confusion amongst the rich folks who are like, oh, poor people now can do this too. But this was our game. And poor people are like, eat the rich. And we're beating at your own game. And we can be money makers too. And it's just wonderful because it's like that redistribution of wealth.
Which is a bit complicated and a bit troublesome, because the platform who is offering that, like Robin Hood, is kind of also now starting to prevent that from happening, which causes a lot more issues because people are like, but why the fucking billionaires do that? And that's what you've actually initially signed that, like, created that page for and that service for. You're called Robin fucking Hood, and now you're trying to prevent us from doing what Robin Hood did in a way. So that's also causing a lot of issues.
Yeah, it's a shit show. It's a mess, and it's wonderful. And, you know, let's see what happens, right? I don't know about you though, but I will probably be playing in the stock market this year myself at some point or another, just because I've always wanted to. And why not? Now there's apps. You don't need to really know what you're doing anymore.
I have no intention of doing anything with my stock whatsoever, or with stock market or whatever, because I'm just not a fan of playing with my money, number one. And I have like this positive attitude towards money, that whenever I do need it, that will come to me in a way. So I'm like, that's a whole fucking privilege that I'm living in. But yeah, I don't even want, like, no desire to do that whatsoever.
That's fair. And Frasley in chat just reminded me in that probably the weirdest thing about this entire situation with GameStop is that not only did AOC, like, say this is wrong, it shouldn't be happening, but also Ted Cruz and Donald Trump Jr., all three of them were in agreement that this is fucked up. this is happening, and that, like, this entire situation, and it's just really bizarre to see those three people all on the same, like, saying the same thing and having agreements. And it's just like, okay, this is happening, this is a weird thing.
Yeah, anyway, that's the entire news on GameStop and what was going on there. Weird fucking thing. And if you want to, we will post an article as well in it, where Stephen Colbert talks about it, the late night host, The Late Show? A Late Show. And he's explaining it a bit as well. And
that a bit better than Amanda does.
We will put that in the show notes.
Yes. And Tom has corrected me that they agreed because the apps were preventing people from buying the certain stocks. And that was the fucked up thing. Not that it was happening, just that the apps were preventing it. Thank you, Tom, for the correction. And Tom is actually the one who sent in our next article. We're moving away from politics and moving into Activision Blizzard. Because they actually said that interviewing diverse candidates for every open was, quote unquote, unworkable.
How can something like that be unworkable? And why is Blizzard doing shit again? Like, it feels like they're having this up and down fucking roller coaster of good news, bad news, good news, bad news, good news, bad news. And I'm like, seriously? You're like the ones who are like have like merged. You have Pride merch for Activision and for Blizzard and everything. And you are telling me it's unworkable to interview diverse candidates?
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently. Though I think there's been an update to this article, which we can cover after. But yes, the Blizzard made a proposal, there was a shareholder proposal that Blizzard interviews at least one diverse candidate when it hires for a position. And this was based on the NFL, yes, the National Football League's Rodney Rule, which was adopted in 2003 that required all of the Football League's teams to interview at least one diverse candidate for every head coaching vacancy. And
are you fucking serious? Is literally my only question. We are talking about one diverse candidate, one and interviewing one diverse candidate. You cannot tell me that you don't get, I don't know, 500 applications for a job when you write that out and when that job's available. And then you cannot interview one person that is diverse?
Yeah. So Vice reported that Activision, why do I have such a hard time saying that? Activision Blizzard attorney told the Securities and Exchange Commission in January that while the company has implemented a Rooney Rule policy as envisioned for director and CEO nominees, implementing a policy that would extend such an approach to all hiring decisions amounts to an unworkable encroachment on the company's ability to run its business and compete for talent in a highly competitive, fast-moving market.
I have no words. Literally. Yeah. No words.
Yeah. However, I will say that there has been a statement released by the president and COO, Daniel Alliger, and this was an update came after this whole thing has come out. So this is from January 28th now. And he has said that Activision Blizzard is committed to inclusive hiring practices and to creating a diverse workforce. It is essential to our mission. Vice completely mischaracterized the SEC filing made by our outside attorneys. In fact, our hiring practices are rooted in ensuring diversity for all roles. We engage in this aggressively and successfully. Our objection was rooted in the fact that the AFL-CIO proposal failed to adequately consider how to apply these practices in all of the countries we operate in. Our games have uniquely influenced popular culture and have helped to increase tolerance and inclusion through their connectivity, as well as the heroes we portray and our stories that celebrate diversity, equality, and inclusion in so many powerful ways. In order to ensure that our games stay true to our mission, we require that all candidates of all backgrounds, ethnicities, genders, races, and sexual orientations are considered for each and every open role. We aggressively recruit diverse candidates so the workforce provides the inspired creativity required to meet the expectations of our diverse 400 million players across 190 countries. We remain committed to increasing diversity at all levels throughout Activision. So it looks like... Sorry, go ahead, Monica.
No, Nelly the Nisi in chat is asking, what do you mean by being diverse? So in practice, if you look at tech companies and if you look at like especially things that have to do with stuff like games have to do with computer things and techy things and stuff like that, most of the time most of the people employed are straight white men. And that not only causes a lot of issues because the stories they tell in video games need more representation than just the view of straight white men. So we also need more women in games. We need more queer people in games, in games and in the entire company, as well as black people, people of all other races, people of all genders, so that you can tell like a good story and not only have a good story but have different kinds of views on different kinds of things in the company setting. And that's what they mean when they talk about being more diverse, because it doesn't mean that there are not jobs available or that those people are less qualified. They just often have less chances of being employed.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was yes. And Tom says more authentic stories too. Yes, exactly. So that you get the things from the people who have the experiences themselves and not somebody who has just heard about something and is using stereotypical tropes to tell certain stories over and over again.
Indeed. Yeah. And so I don't know, judging by the Daniel Aliger's statement that I read out, sorry, it was very long. It sounds like they are implementing their Rooney Rule wherever they can. However, it might be difficult in some countries that maybe won't receive diverse candidates, I think is what like I'm... I think that's my takeaway.
Yeah. I mean, my immediate thought was maybe he was talking about parts like, for example, China or something where it's based on the country situation, obviously probably more difficult to be more diverse in hiring because of how the country is like not very human rights friendly in general and not like thriving on diversity or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, yeah, like Frazi says in chat, when you think of CD Projekt Red, which are like in Poland, and some things can be probably can be more difficult than in other countries, I suppose. But nothing's impossible.
Nothing's impossible. You know, I do think that, yes, Blizzard has a lot of issues, and I think a lot more since partnering with Activision or being bought out or whatever situation that is, like, there are problems. But I also do think that they are a progressive company, especially in terms of their gameplay and their character diversity and representation. So I would like to err on the side that, yes, they actively recruit, like, inclusive hiring. Like they go through inclusive hiring practices. Whether I'm looking at that with rose tinted glasses, I'm not sure. I was a bit put off that he said that they aggressively recruit diverse candidates because that sounds aggressive, you know.
Sounds aggressive. Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. Like, yes, I like to think that they would not recruit diverse at all. I'm like, that's almost like difficult, but if you probably look at the amount of people working there, I still would think that there is always room for improvement. And yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose we'll be seeing
I would just question why there is even an issue when whatever they are asking is only about one diverse candidate. Then why is there suddenly such an issue about this if the paper is looking for one diverse candidate? And how does that even look like? Like, what does the paper say? Does it need to be that one unicorn person that's an intersection of everything? Of course, that's very hard. Like, that's obviously harder to find than I don't know, what the fuck, I don't know, one black person or one queer person. And but that doesn't mean that there is not a black queer person out there or whatever, if you know what I mean. So yeah,
definitely interesting, definitely lots to follow and hold them accountable for as well.
For sure.
Yeah. But let's move on to some fan happy news.
Happy fan news.
This article also came from Tom. He didn't actually send us the article. Sadly, I needed to look it up myself. But he told me in the kitchen, you should talk about Resident Evil. And I was like, okay, we're going to.
You should talk about Resident Evil. Yes, everybody needs to talk about Resident Evil. The Village, which comes out on May the 7th, but they released like a short demo for it, like 30 minutes or so, demo of the game. Mm-hmm. And people are loving it. But not only the game, but one specific, I was going to say human being, but that's kind of wrong.
Character.
Character.
Honestly, I think like all the hype that I've seen researching for this show was hype about the character, not about the game. Everybody is just like, shit hot for this character.
Yes. And we're talking about Maiden, Mrs. What's her face?
Lady Dimitrescu.
Lady Dimitrescu.
She is a very tall lady, and she's captivated all of our hearts, everyone's hearts. Maybe not mine, because this is the first I've heard of it. But she is in the game along with her three daughters.
I think she shows up like literally at the end of the 30-minute demo and basically is, I mean, can I spoil a demo?
Oh, sure.
She's basically just entering the room and saying, well, hi there. And she's like super aggressive, like very hot, very tall. Even the gays love her. And she's just like, here you are. And then she's slicing you up like Wolverine. And she's like a badass bitch, basically.
Yes.
Who takes no shit. That's at least what she looks like. Like, she's taking no shit. She's like owning herself, and she's just loving it. Like, and people love her. So much so that it even becomes a topic, how tall she is.
Mm-hmm. And the Resident Evil Village art director, Tomonori Takano, released a statement on Resident Evil's Twitter. And it's delightful. And I would like to read it out loud, if that's okay with you, Monica.
Of course. I read it too. It's too funny, actually.
It's wonderful. He says, I wanted to use this opportunity to publicly reflect on the outpouring of positivity we've received from the fans on our latest announcement. As a representative of the development team, thank you to all the fans who continue to follow us. Most recently, Lady Dimitrescu and her daughters have received a fair amount of attention, far more than we anticipated. It's great that they're able to take the spotlight as icons of Resident Evil Village. Lady Dimitrescu especially has received much fanfare both domestically and overseas, which has made all of us in the development team extremely happy. I hear her height is something of interest. If you include her hat and high heels, she's 2.9 meters, approximately 9 foot 6 inches tall. These bewitching vampiric characters are relentless in their pursuit of Ethan, and I can't wait for you to meet them yourselves when you enter Castle Dimitrescu in May.
Yeah, I'm quite excited, honestly. I don't know, like, I didn't like Resident Evil 7 or something. It was so gory and all the maggots, and I like really hate maggots. Oh god. So if that's not as maggoty as it, oh god, no VR, oh god, oh god. Anyway, so yeah, I'm curious. I'm probably going to watch streamers play it.
And when you're not going to play it yourself?
I'm going to play it. Oh, God. Should I play it?
I will bring
it?
Popcorn. Yes. I'll bring popcorn.
Oh, God. No.
Yes.
Channel points redemption or what?
Yes. I like the thought of that rather than Overcooked.
Wow. That will happen too, though, channel points redemption. You don't bring maggots. Ollie, I will leave immediately.
Amazing.
The demo is only 30 minutes. I could play the demo.
You could play the demo, yes.
Well, maybe.
Yes, I think it's a good idea.
PS5. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, Resident Evil, yay. That's what we're saying. Keep us what we want, damn it. I will try.
Which chat has spoken, Monica. You're playing it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yay. Whatever.
You sound so excited.
I know. I sound so excited. I don't even know how to play Resident Evil games. Like, what are we playing Resident Evil games? Like, what are you doing? You need to shoot or things? I don't even know. Is that a shooter thing? Because I can't shoot for shit.
That's why it'll be even better.
Oh, God. It took me like 4 hours to build a fucking bee in Minecraft with the help of Charlie on Sunday. So, like, no. People say I don't need to shoot, but I can shoot the shit. Well, damn it. Well, okay, we will do that then.
I'm excited.
I'm fine. I'm fine. It's fine. It's fine. This is fine.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah. So that's the good news that we have, but we're going to end with not so good news.
Are we going to actually, because we've already been recording for an hour and, you know, maybe we should end on
a better note. Yeah, sure. That's fine with me because I'm like, should we really end with this? That's pretty rough to end on.
We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it another time. We'll
talk about it later when there is more information, maybe.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Perfect.
Okay. So, yeah. That's Geek Girl in the News. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. So thanks for this amazing episode. We will see you again next week for another amazing episode of Geek Herring.
Bye. Bye. If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.